Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood, tips and tricks,
products we love,
and brands that we can't live without. Let's get into it.
Food.
You're right, G.
Food.
Food.
My favourite subject.
It is your favourite subject. Food and sleep. Yes. What's mine?
Fitness and sex.
Yes! And that's why Georgia and myself work so well together.
We cover off all topics.
Yeah, we do indeed. Well, this week we're not talking about exercise and sex, sadly. We're talking about food.
Yeah, fussy eaters.
Yeah, fussy eaters. So you don't have one.
I don't have one.
Ugh.
No, I don't. I used to have a husband that was one.
He's such a child, James.
But no, I don't have fussy eaters in the house. I don't allow them in the house anymore.
But I mean, Georgia, the thing is, mate, is I've done nothing differently to you, okay? Apart from the fact that maybe I'm not that mother that stands over a stove and like can create stuff just from this is just
but
something I whipped up from the cupboard.
You don't have to be though, that's the thing.
But
do
I do because I've got two fussy eaters. As in, like, Luna's not a fussy eater, but you know, she knows what she likes, and that is chicken, sweet potato fries, and peas and carrots, which is a great diet.
But I mean, that's balanced.
Yeah, it is balanced, but what about some salmon? No, because they're not fish fingers. See, the thing is, right, and this is my thing on it, it's absolutely fine if you can completely control their food all the time, i.e. they're not eating anywhere else, but as soon as a child tries a fish finger, you are fucked.
Yeah, no, that is true. To be fair...
Fish fingers are delicious. Imo's laughing, but that our producer Imo's laughing.
Do you know
laughing.
What? I don't actually think Axel's had fish fingers.
Oh, for God's sakes, why not?
I don't know, because I don't eat them, so why would I buy them?
Because they're delicious and you need to make a fish finger wrap for yourself.
But I don't eat them myself.
But why so would then... you not?
I just don't. It's just not something that comes into my mind when I'm food shopping to buy fish fingers.
We're straight to the bird's eye counter.
So what does a typical day in the life of Luna and Kit look like?
Okay, they both start with a bowl of porridge.
So does Axel.
Okay, but obviously Luna doesn't like blueberries or raspberries or strawberries, so I have to mash them up and mix them up with banana and flax seeds and coconut, and I put them in her porridge and she eats all of it and she loves it. So that's great. Kit's
flax
the same.
Flax seeds, that's snazzy.
Yeah, snazzy, right?
Yeah.
I'm like that, ooh, this looks snazzy. Whap it in. So we have porridge for breakfast. I'm quite strict on my snacks, like fruit. She eats apples, grapes, absolutely fine. Then lunchtime, it's like chicken nuggets. Chicken nuggets, sweet potato fries, mashed potato, sausages. I mean, it's base stuff. It's basic stuff, but I haven't got time to create. I don't know how to cook. All right, that's it. I'm going to admit it. I'm shit cook. Are you?
I like cooking. I really like cooking. It's like my favourite thing to do. So...
Mine is sex.
Zoe has sex and I cook. Together, a combination, we would be the perfect wife. But so I guess from the beginning, I was really excited to wean Axel and I made him loads of stuff. In fact, when I look back now, I laugh at what I gave him at like 7 months old.
Curries.
Like, I used to give him the most humongous meals. Like, I used to make homemade meatballs and all of these different things. And he was like 7 months old.
He was like, delicious. Basi meatball.
Like, seriously, what was I doing? I used to order him like the kids' meal. In like, if we went out for dinner,
at
like
7 months,
three course meal. I've got photos. Like, me and my mum were just
weirdo,
nuts.
George.
I know.
You really are.
I really enjoy it. And I have just started getting him involved as well.
That's a really good idea.
Yeah. So he started chopping and I talked to him a lot about what I'm making. And he's starting to be quite interested, especially like pasta dishes and stuff that you're just doing on the hob. And you can just throw anything in. It's fun. It's fun for a kid to...
No, I mean, I know it is. It absolutely is. I'm looking at you quite confused because in my head I'm thinking pasta dish. Like, the only pasta dish that I can do is pasta with some ham, some sweet corn and some Philadelphia. What else is there in life? I need some help. This is right. I need some help. And that's why I'm over the moon that we managed to nab this woman
to
talk to.
I'm so excited.
Right? Because she is chef extraordinaire, great at weaning. She has some fantastic tips. And she's also got a really amazing cookbook for kids.
She has. She's got a proper plan to help tackle fussy eaters in the house.
You're going to listen to this chat. And you're going to notice how stressed I am throughout the whole thing because I feel like I'm failing as a mother. But, you know, since we've had that chat, nothing's changed in my household. Let's just get into it. So those of you that know Georgia and I very well, alongside sleep, food is a massive, massive subject. We talk about it a lot. We're always messaging each other on WhatsApp saying, he's not eating anything, or she's eating everything, but nothing green. So today we're really excited because we have been joined in the studio by somebody who is a weaning expert. She is an author. Her book is called Get Your Kids to Eat Anything. She is mum of two to a little boy who is 11 and a little girl who is 7.
Yeah.
I think that's right. Yeah. She founded her blog in 2011 and she's just an all-round expert when it comes to feeding your kids. It's Emily Leary.
Hello. We can't wait to chat to you. We absolutely love talking about food. And I think it can be a bit of a minefield for mums. So we're really, really excited to get your tips. Really, what we want to know is how did you get into, food in the first place?
Oh, well, I mean, I've always been obsessed with food. Food is very nice. And then I had my son and I was kind of, you know, doing the usual thing of kind of just stick whatever or go in the microwave or, you know, whatever they'll eat. Trying to keep a career going at the same time. And then I was pregnant with my daughter, had a little bit of time off before she was born. So I thought, oh, we'll do some baking together. Now I look back and we were making the most ugly food. Like, we thought we were brilliant, but it was terrible. and I was taking photos of it and thought, well, I'll stick it online somewhere. And everybody seemed to have blogs. Actually, 2011, not everyone had blogs, but everyone I knew seemed to. So I thought, right, I'm going to get a blog. I'm just going to set it up. We'll stick all of our kind of our fun and our cooking and where we've been at the weekend and things onto this blog. Nobody will read it, but it'll be fun. And I'll be part of a community. And it just went mad almost immediately. And particularly when we shared recipes, because I soon went back to work after my daughter was born. And so I was trying to kind of, you know, we all want to be kind of like Nigella and really sexy in the kitchen and really good at cooking everything. But actually, we're knackered and we've got 10 minutes and we just want something that everybody will eat. So the recipes that I was publishing were in that vein and it really seemed to hit a note. And so, well, yeah, for all the years that followed up to today, it's just been a bit of an obsession, really.
So what was your career at the time?
I was in PR and marketing. So I used to work for... first in telecoms and then in the energy sector, looking after their social media. So I'd be going like, hey guys, here's an exciting like choice of jumpers to wear so you don't have to put the heating on. And then everybody underneath would be saying, you sent me the wrong bill.
Yeah, all the complaints.
You set up a blog and you're speaking as yourself and people are a lot more receptive. They don't shout at you for cutting their telephone line off.
Yay!
So yeah, it was just a much more cheerful place. And that I think is the most addictive thing about, you know, blogging and vlogging and all of that kind of thing, is that you just get to connect with people directly and that's just so much fun and you learn so much quicker. So whether there's a new demand or a new trend or parents just really need to know something, you get that message straight into you, not through kind of 6 months of market research.
You can literally just pick up your phone, you can write something down, or you can film a piece of video content and it's there.
Yeah,
that's what I love about it. That's why I love Instagram so much, because I'm like, what am I going to cook my kids for dinner tonight?
Exactly. You found your niche, definitely, with food. So you were saying that when you had your son, you just gave him anything that, you know, that was available and that took 10 minutes and went in the microwave.
Yeah.
When did that change and you start to actually, you know, start making lots of things and coming up with recipe ideas? And
well, I think you get a little bit of a false confidence when you start weaning, because you kind of like, you mash things or you puree them and they'll eat anything. Like, my kids are eating so many vegetables and they're eating all these weird things and they're having parsnip with apple. They're going to be just absolute gourmet children. You get a little bit full of yourself. And then they slowly start reducing what they're willing to try. And before you know it, they're kind of sitting with their kind of one piece of cheese and that's all they will eat. Or like a slice of toast. So
you are reading
of...
my mind right now, Emily.
And you kind of don't know what went wrong. And there's always that bit in the back of your mind, which is like, I know that I probably could try to like really battle through this and get them eating more, but I don't want food all over my head for the next kind of month, so I'm just going to kind of just stick to the easy stuff and I'll just kind of beg them occasionally to have a bit of broccoli. So we sort of dealt with it a little bit, kind of wins and then kind of slipping back a little bit and then wins. And then my son was diagnosed on the autistic spectrum. And by this time, my daughter was getting fussy after her kind of initial puree stage. So I had these two kind of quite fussy kids. My daughter is still struggling with various kind of throat infections and problems. So she was kind of using that as an excuse as well. Kind of, I can only eat ice cream for the next year.
Such a good excuse, that, isn't it? My throat's too sore.
Yes, she was like... bring the ice cream. So what we realised is that tackling fussy eating is a bit like potty training, or when you first put them into your own bed and into their own beds and they just keep coming back into your bed. You're like, please stay in your own bed. And then kind of after three nights you just let them sleep with you. You're like, fine, okay, this is a system forever now, I give up. But we all know that if you just stick with it for a bit longer, things do start to change. So I started to test kind of what is the fussy eating equivalent of potty training or teaching to sleep in their own bed. And I realised that children are naturally quite afraid of things that are new. So, you know, you give them like a different coloured cheese and they're like, what is this? Cheese isn't usually orange. Why have you given me this?
Yeah.
So what I tried to do is to introduce something that looked a bit different onto their plate every single day so that variety became more familiar. And that is really the core of the book, that you get kids really familiar with food, familiar with the texture. You keep serving food up in different ways, different colours, different shapes, and gradually they just become a little bit more open to it, and it does work.
Oh, I've completely failed. No, I have, because I'm not a foodie. So there's going to be people listening that are, you know, big chefs at home and they love cooking and they love being in the kitchen. And there's going to be women and men listening who are like me. Food is kind of functional to me. Mm-hmm. I enjoy a meal, but I will go as far as doing like a nice piece of salmon with some stir fried veg, or, you know, a piece of chicken and some veg. Like, I live with an athlete. So it's kind of like our diets are very simple. So I get to meal times and I go, what am I going to cook? Okay, a piece of salmon. I'm going to put some broccoli down, some carrots. Kit has never touched a carrot and broccoli. I've been putting it down for 6 months now and he has never once picked it up. Why?
It's always on his plate. He's just not interested.
Just doesn't want it. It just sits on the board in front of him. You know, he's in a high chair. I just don't understand what more I can do. Where have I gone wrong?
I mean, we've all been there, and I don't think it's exceptional at all. And it's kind of why I don't have fussy eaters on the cover of the book, because although obviously it is about tackling fussy eating, all children are fussy. Like, we are all
and
living
we're all
with
fussy
that.
As well, aren't
and
we?
We're all
like
fussy
ourselves.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So I wanted it to be something that works for everybody. But the crucial thing is that although the book has 70 recipes in it, it isn't 70 recipes that your kids will eat even if they're fussy. It's actually teaching them to kind of undo that fussiness. So there are activities that will get them handling food, smelling food, searching for kind of spiky and knobbly things in the kind of the vegetable aisle.
Is that important?
I love this.
It's all about kind of changing their fear of the unfamiliar. So a question I get quite a lot is, if you put it in front of the child and they won't eat anything, do you let them starve or do you give them something else? And I think you're probably doing the right thing already, which is you're giving them some things that they will eat and some things that you know they probably won't. And it's just about kind of gradually working towards having some kind of interaction with the foods that they're nervous of, even if it's not eating them. So it might be smelling them. It might be pressing the texture between their fingers. It might be kind of feeding one to mum and just kind of getting more and more familiar with it.
It's interesting.
What you don't really want is a battle at the dinner table. You want food to be easy. And a lot of people have said to me kind of, oh, I don't have time to cook a different meal every single night for the rest of my life. I'm like, no, that's not what we're going for. What we're going for is a few weeks of doing lots of activities, getting kids really comfortable with food, understanding where it comes from, rubbing it in their fingers, smelling it, handling it, building towers with vegetables, slowly increasing the kind of meals that they're willing to eat. And then ideally, you get to a point where you open the fridge, you see that you've got a little bit of salmon, you've got some vegetables, you've maybe got a little bit of sauce. You cook it, you put it on everybody's plate, and everybody eats it. That's the ideal that we're looking for.
That's a dream,
isn't I'm making three different meals at the moment. So every single mealtime, I'm making something for Luna because I know what she likes and what she eats. I'm making a different meal for Kit because Kit won't eat pasta. So if I ever do Luna pasta, Kit won't touch it.
God, pasta's like this. I know. Absolute... Every child eats pasta.
Not my child. He just puts it, like you said, he just feels it with his finger, he just pushes it around and then he drops it on the floor. And I have tried so many times. And then later on, I'm cooking for me and Dozza, or Dozza's cooking for us, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's just becoming really, really hard for us in the house because I just don't know how to kind of combat that. And I obviously, and also, and hopefully other people are going through this, with Luna's vegetables, I also have to say to her, you need to eat that broccoli. If you don't eat that broccoli, I'm going to turn Peppa Pig off. And it's that. I have a battle with her to get the veg into her every mealtime. But I feel like that's not the right way to do it.
It's going to be hard for you. And it's also, you know, we're talking about building positive relationships with food. And ultimately, that's building a negative relationship with food for all of you.
No.
And eventually, you're just like, fine, I just won't put the broccoli on the plate. So, no, you do want to build it in a positive way. And it takes these continued activities and this continued building relationship. And there are some ideas in the book as well for things like, most kids love cheese sauce. Most, some won't, but most do.
Yep.
So you make a big bowl of cheese sauce in the middle of the table, and then you chop up various vegetables and some bits of bread and things. And to get to the cheese sauce, they at least have to dip the vegetable into the cheese sauce as a receptacle to get it to their mouth. So, you know, my daughter would probably, you know, first time trying it, kind of dip a piece of carrot in and just lick the cheese sauce.
Yeah.
But that's still putting the carrot in her mouth. It's still getting
it
closer.
So is that a win?
Yeah. And, you know, and it builds up over time. And with things like pasta as well, you can try different textures. So obviously very well-cooked pasta is very soft. You know, if you cook it kind of al dente, so it's quite holdable. Again, you can potentially do something like penne and just have it kind of as almost like a dipping. So almost in place of chips. So not crunchy, obviously.
Oh, that's a good idea.
So you're sort really of picking it up, dipping it in, you know, their favourite sauce, even if that's ketchup. Because for me, I wrote the book not to be kind of everything is kind of holier than thou and it's all avocado toast. It's more about get kids to have a better relationship with vegetables. Because a lot of dietitians will say this as well, rather than thinking about what you shouldn't have in your diet, think about what's missing from it and add it in. So if we can get everybody in the family eating plenty of vegetables, their diet will kind of naturally balance out.
I've got a question, and I mean, I'm not complaining because Axel is actually a really good eater, but I'm a foodie. Like, as Zoe said, like, I love cooking, so it is a thing in my house. You know, I'm always cooking stuff. I love cooking from scratch, so that's probably why he eats quite a lot, because both my husband and I, you know, are always trying
new
stuff. Yeah, we're foodies, and that's the way it is. My mum isn't a foodie, so it's probably made me a foodie, you know? So it's just one of the, yeah, I've just always wanted to be good at cooking and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But he will not eat eggs, and it really upsets me, like really upsets me, because I eat eggs every single day. And I've given them to him, scrambled eggs, dippy eggs. The only time he'll eat an egg is eggy bread.
Mm.
But I think it stems from when he was really little, he was allergic to eggs.
Yeah.
So he used to get sores and stuff, yeah, on his face. And the doctor said to me, just keep trying it every few months or whatever and see what happens. He's not like, his throat wasn't closing up or anything like that. So it was just like, you know, contact dermatitis or whatever it is. But I think it's like been installed in his head now that he just won't eat
like
them.
Eggs.
How can you not like eggs?
Some people don't like eggs, but that's slightly different because that's one. I mean, look, you answer the question, actually. I'm not the expert.
No, I would agree. I think, you know, we're allowed to not like certain things.
Yeah.
I mean, coffee and desserts for me is just like,
don't like it.
Somebody gives me tiramisu and I'll just like try and hide it under the table. Sorry if anyone's ever given me tiramisu. but I think it's okay to not like certain things. My son was actually very allergic to cow's milk when he was small, and he used to get the same thing.
As mine.
He drank it and it was like instant food poisoning and all of his skin on his face would peel, and he was very mistrustful of anything dairy for a long time, particularly because one of his friends gave him a spoonful of yogurt at nursery and it wasn't like an anaphylactic reaction, but it was a really nasty one. He was kind of like, that's it, no dairy for me ever. And we did the same thing, trying to reintroduce it every few months, and he's absolutely fine with it now. But it did take quite a long time. He just had an almost kind of inbuilt mistrust of anything creamy. So even if it wasn't dairy-based, even if it was something like mayonnaise, you could see that his brain was like, no, that'll make me ill.
That looks like dairy.
Yeah, so that's another thing, actually. He'll eat egg mayonnaise sandwiches.
Yeah.
But I think it's if you don't say the word egg.
So that's exactly it. So it's just kind of, it's something that will probably come with time.
Okay.
But also, you can maybe have fun cooking something together. So for example, you know, you're quite foodie, you could make some mayonnaise from scratch.
Yeah.
So you could kind of
but why would you? You've got Heinz like in the yeah.
I'm just,
no, I'm joking.
For
I'm joking.
Fun. For fun.
What do you think about hiding certain vegetables or fruits in food? So I'm always told this across our Instagram, you know, just, you know, grate loads of courgettes and hide them in food, certain pasta sauces, or, you know, blend up some so they don't know they're having it. Because my go-to, if Kit doesn't eat any vegetables, here's an Ella's pouch, carrots, parsnips and whatever it is, apples. And but that just really tastes like a sweet drink.
Yeah, I mean, there's some pros and cons to that. One of the negatives with something like a kind of a pureed pouch that also has something like apple in it, as a regular option, is that it keeps the child's palate quite focused on quite sweet flavours. And there have been quite a few objections over recent years to kind of toddler snack products that are sweetened. So they're naturally sweetened. So it still says kind of 100% natural, but they're sweetened with very concentrated fruit juice or fruits.
Yeah.
Which kind of trains a child's palate to just prefer sweet things. And we all know this kind of, you know, like if you have a lot of sugar in your tea or coffee and you first give it up and the drink just tastes disgusting, or you don't put any honey in your porridge or whatever and you just think, I can't eat this. But after a few days, your palate starts to adjust and you think, actually, I don't know why I was putting so much sugar into my food or my drink. So it's kind of the same thing. If we keep giving children very sweetened food, then that's what they get used to. As for hiding food, I think it's fine. I think that, you know, again, for peace of mind, if you're really worried about your child and you just want to know that you've got some vegetables into them, you know, hidden pasta sauce, you know, grating courgette or carrot into a cake, whatever works for you, absolutely go ahead and do it. But it doesn't tackle the long-term issue. And so what I wanted to do was create something that would take the headache away so that you wouldn't have to worry long-term. And so that, you know, when your child goes off to work or university or whatever.
Yeah, that's the thing for me.
Yeah, that they'll kind of, you know, they won't just be buying sort of super noodles and living on them for 3 years or for the rest of their lives.
So when I met my husband, I've spoken about this before, he ate meat, potatoes, pasta and bread.
Mm-hmm.
That was it. Absolutely nothing else. And I ate everything apart from sandwiches. I still don't eat sandwiches now. But that was that. We were worlds apart. And I've always thought in my head, if I ever have a child, I don't want him or her to be like him, because it really put me off him as well. We go to a restaurant and I think, oh no, not carbonara again. Every restaurant we go to, you order carbonara.
Oh, it's so nice though,
it is
it?
Nice.
A bit of carbonara, but come on, James.
Every restaurant, It's like limiting, isn't it?
It's really scary what happens though, because you feel like you're doing, like I very much followed George's train of thought this time around, because I've seen how brilliant Axel is at eating, and I was like, right, with Kit. I was like, I'm going to have another Axel. So I would just put stuff down. I was just putting it down and cooking and leaving it there for him, and he just knows what he wants to eat and what he does. And then of course someone gives him fish fingers and he's like, but why would I have salmon without breadcrumbs now, Mum? I just want it all with breadcrumbs on it. And now he's rejecting that again because I mean let's be honest, fish fingers taste so delicious.
Yeah, exactly. That so that's like, it's one of the first recipes in the book for exactly that reason, that children get settled onto the way that things should be. And if it's batter instead of breadcrumbs, what on earth is this fish from the fish and chip shop? Why isn't it? These aren't breadcrumbs. Are you trying to poison me? So it is about as soon as possible, but it absolutely is possible later on, just changing things up regularly and getting them used to it. So one of the first recipes in the book is breadcrumbed fish. You make it at home. You just put a little bit, it's not a lot, but a little bit of curry spices in the crumb before you crumb the fish. So it's
panko,
very gentle.
Panko breadcrumbs?
If you like.
I mean, Stazzy.
Can you make them yourself?
You make them yourself.
What?
Do what you like. I just buy a pot of breadcrumbs. I'm not fancy.
Oh. I didn't know panko were fancy. It's just the first ones I found.
Well, this is the thing as well, that it's meant to be fun for the whole family. It's not meant to be this massive headache where you're kind of working through this kind of several week plan and going, oh God, I've got to cook this again. It's meant to be fun. So there's lots and lots of tips all the way through for using what you've got in the cupboard instead. Right. So if you've got panko in the cupboard instead, or, you know, if you've got some smoked paprika but you haven't got the curry spices, just use them.
Right.
Absolutely cool. But it's just about, yeah, slowly tweaking things a little bit. There's another recipe that's pizza, because most kids do like pizza.
Yes.
Although my daughter prefers it without cheese. She's strange. She will eat it with cheese, but she likes it without.
Yeah.
And it's got, you divide it into kind of your 6 segments. And you put a little bit of different topping on each segment. So every segment that the child has, they have to try something a little bit different on the topping, or they're missing out on pizza. It's amazing how well that works.
That's a great idea, yeah.
So and what sort of...
No, go on.
I was going to say, what sort of things would you be putting on the pizza in the different segments?
So again, whatever you've got in the fridge, so you might use something, you might kind of try and go for a little bit of a rainbow wheel going on. So you might use some red cabbage cut really finely, or you know, you've got different coloured peppers, obviously get lots of colour from them. I made it for my son and his friend when they came around at the weekend, and I used grated carrot on one of the slices, which was actually really nice, and some grated courgette on another with the skin still on, and just a little drizzle of olive oil before it goes into the oven. And just anything to kind of get them trying different flavours, bit of sweet corn. And, you know, even if they're kind of flicking the majority of it off, they're still getting to know that food and for it to be less familiar.
And also, does getting them involved help as well? Because obviously pizza, I always think, when I've got quite a few nieces and nephews, and whenever they come round, I always get by that pre-made dough. Mm-hmm. It's from the dough company or something.
Where do you get that from? The supermarket?
Yeah, it's frozen. And you can defrost it in the microwave, so it's just always on hand. And then I'm like, oh yeah, come on, let's make pizzas.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a fun thing to do, isn't it?
Then what do you put on top of it?
Just like tomato puree.
Yeah, or leftover pasta sauce if you've got some in the cupboard. You can even use, if you've like had fajitas another night and you've got a few tortillas left, you can use them as your bases, or naan bread, or even just normal bread from the bread bin, just anything. Yeah, stick a bit of tomato sauce, whatever you've got in the cupboard in, tinned tomatoes, anything like that, and then just have fun topping it. Same sort of principle as fajitas, because you can build them yourself. And obviously children will have preferences. You know, my daughter prefers cucumber, and she'll kind of, you know, put the pepper in slightly begrudgingly, but she knows that she'll enjoy it once it's in there. And my son is absolutely the other way around, so he'll kind of put loads of pepper in and a little bit of cucumber. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, we're allowed individual tastes. I'm not saying let's create kids who have no ability to choose themselves, but it just makes them more open to it. And it really does work, but you do have to keep that variety going, which is why it kind of builds up through the book. And then at the end, there are loads and loads more ideas. So for every one of the 14 recipes in the last phase, there's another 10 ways that you could tweak that recipe.
Okay.
So it might be a dip, and then it's 10 other dips you could make. Because I want parents to go away and actually keep having fun with food and keep being creative with it, rather than just kind of slip back and find themselves suddenly back at square one again.
So have you got any other tips apart from pizza for getting kids involved, especially like toddlers? Like I've literally this week just bought Axel some knives, mm-hmm. so he can chop
his
fruit.
Yeah, they look great.
Yeah, it's been so much fun actually in the mornings. Like he's chopping fruit to go with his porridge.
Yeah, great.
And he's really enjoying it. In fact, this morning he asked if he could chop his blueberries, and I had to be like, well, they're actually small already. Like, you don't really need to do those,
does
mate.
Does he eat strawberries and blueberries on his porridge?
Yeah,
in the morning.
Yeah. He's like a fruit. He really likes fruit.
That's
but
fantastic.
It's just he really likes the chopping.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it was a bit daunting because obviously you think they're going to hurt themselves. At what age can you actually get them involved? Because I feel it's like only just now I would have been able to get him chopping.
They're probably not genuinely helpful to begin with. So initially you're probably just giving them a job. So for example, I will, you know, when mine was smaller, I'd rinse the potatoes under the tap so they were basically clean. And then I'd give them a clean kind of sponge that I hadn't used on the washing up yet and just be like, can you just scrub the potatoes for me? And they'd just be kind of sitting at the table doing a job.
Sweet.
They were happy. Things like that. Or, you know, twisting the tops off the carrots or, anyway, anything. It's not actually particularly helpful, but it just gets them involved. And then, you know, as soon as they have kind of basic dexterity, there's a recipe in the book for sticky hands soda bread. And it's deliberately a really sticky recipe because a lot of kids also have issues with getting food on their hands. Some kids absolutely love it and will kind of dive in head first and be covered head to toe in spaghetti sauce. And some kids don't really like getting their hands dirty. And my kids, especially my son, they were more like that. He didn't like the kind of the texture and the feel on his hands.
Yeah.
So making bread and going, oh, can't do this bit with a spoon, it won't work, it's too sticky, we're going to have to dig our hands in, really helped. And obviously you do end up with kind of flour and water and vegetables everywhere. It's probably more of a weekend activity. Mm-hmm. But in the end, you get this bread that has little bits of courgette and carrot in that you can see. It's a soda bread, so you don't have to wait for it to prove. It's kind of you make it and it goes straight into the oven. And it's amazing how much more willing they are to try kind of, you know, a sandwich, for example, with some new toppings in it, if it's something that they, you know, that's my bread.
They're involved in. Yeah.
And then they start telling their friends about it and they start thinking of new ways. You can also try, if you've got a little bit of a laid back attitude, so you can make something like an omelette and let them choose everything that goes into
it. I like that idea because I'm good at it. I can do an omelette.
Yeah,
that's in my repertoire.
So they can break the eggs and then you can kind of retrieve all the shell. And then, you know, you kind of just open the fridge to them, stand them on a step and say, okay, what do you want to put in it? And it might end up a bit weird. Obviously, it might go a bit too far where you're kind of like, really?
Chocolate, jam. Harry Bows.
But, you know, to just let them choose. And again, it's amazing how much more willing they are to try it if they were involved in making it.
What, for a novice, do we need in our kitchen to set us up? Because some of these things you're talking about, like making bread and baking cakes, I mean, I don't have anything like that. I have like one saucepan, which is pretty old. I mean, can you believe it? And I don't have any sort of mixer or blender or anything like that. What do I need to set me up?
Most things you could make with just the very basics of your kitchen. So a really good example is that my kids do cooking class. They kind of cheat on me on a Wednesday afternoon with another cook. And they literally just take a little baking dish with them every week. And then whatever they've made, they cook in that dish. So it's everything. Just seems to, it's amazing what you can make in one dish. So I think one baking tin, it could be like a square one, and that you could just make everything in that. A food processor is great. Okay. You can get kind of 30 yeah. quid ones
Any
from
good
the supermarket.
Ones? Yeah, just a supermarket yeah. one.
Absolutely. Yeah. You don't need kind of one like a £500 whiz bang one that does everything, although they are fun and I do like a gadget. Yeah, kind of, you know, or they're on offer at the super low rates. Go with that, it'll do everything. But most things you can do just by hand and it'll be really normal ingredients. So for example, the sticky hand soda bread is just some bicarbonate of soda. So you're buying kind of a pound tub of that and it's lasting you for ages. Just some basic plain flour, water, and your grated carrot and courgette, really. So, and again, if you had a different vegetable in the fridge, so if you had some parsnip instead because it's, you know, kind of leftover from Christmas or whatever, hopefully not now leftover from Christmas, might be a bit old.
It's nearly June.
Then, you know, put that in instead. You know, there is a list of things that you might like to get in the cupboard at the beginning, but they will be things that you can use until they're used up. So I'm never gonna, anywhere in the book am I gonna ask you to kind of go and buy liquid smoke or something like that.
Yeah, and then, yeah, something crazy.
Yeah, and it's all available in the supermarkets. There were a couple of times actually where there were some ingredients I really wanted to use, but what I did was I not only saw if it was in my supermarket, because I live right next to like a super centre, huge supermarket, but I would phone at least two friends or message them around the country and go, is it in your supermarket? Because if it was something that's kind of only specialist or only in London stores or something like that, then I didn't want to put it in the book.
Oh, Emily, you're so lovely. And also, how fantastic, because you've just saved the issues of being like, well, it's not in this part of the country. It is.
And it's so frustrating. And, you know, you see these amazing things and you think, I want to make that. And then you kind of, you come home a bit dejected because you just can't find it anywhere.
Yeah, there's nothing worse than when you have a recipe and you go to the supermarket and then you find you can't get half the ingredients. Yes. And you've already put the other half in your trolley and then you think, oh no, I'm not making
giving up here
now. Yeah.
I just feel quite sad because I feel like I'm not doing a good enough job for them. And I'm worried that they're going to grow up having problems with. This is like quite a big thing for me because food has been, I've been on a bit of a journey with food myself. Like I was quite anorexic in my 20s and I worry that that was because I basically grew up eating fish fingers and pizza. My parents just didn't cook for us. So I want to do something about it. And I'm just wanting to know if I haven't left it too late.
I don't think it's ever too late. Very much like your husband, mine was a kind of like donuts in the bath for tea on a Friday sort of person. He was not an adventurous eater, and he very much is now. And actually, after a couple of years with me, he texted me when I was at work one day and went, I don't know what you've done to me, but I've just put salad on my plate voluntarily. It's like, woohoo, it's finally working. I think, first of all, we've all got different backgrounds. We all come from different families. Obviously, as women, unfortunately, in Western culture, most of us have had some level of eating disorder because, you know, the media can be awful about that. Children obviously are not going to be the same, and some children will be more willing to eat than others. I honestly don't think that we need any more mum guilt than we've already got, so yeah. Please don't worry. Build their relationship with food. Take them to, you know, pick your own farms, have them picking vegetables, do all of these things that are in the activities that are in the book, And don't worry too much if you're not suddenly serving up okra curry and they're going, oh, mummy, this is delicious.
I love my okra. I didn't know what that is. Is that those small bananas?
They're the little kind of green finger-looking things. And when you cut them, they're quite slimy on the inside.
Our
they're brilliant.
Losing it behind me. Is that not what they are? I don't know. Oh, God. Okay, so it's not too late.
I don't think it's ever too late. And, you know, you're a great mum. You're teaching them about food. They're seeing what you eat. They're seeing that you've got a good relationship with food now.
I do.
You also have the advantage of, you know, having come from a more negative place and learned. So actually, you know, and I think it's the same for me because I was incredibly underweight. I had IBS and then associated hardly eating with not having pain. So I was incredibly underweight. And I just think, you know, in some ways that actually makes you more conscious of what a healthy attitude to food is. Yep. So your kids are probably, certainly, going to be absolutely fine.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks. That has made me feel loads better, actually. Right, G.
Yeah, so every episode we like to finish off talking about like our five favourite products. So what are your five favourite products for getting, you know, getting mums back in the kitchen and cooking or getting the kids involved or just in general helping make some amazing meals?
Opinel, they're a French brand. They do knives and vegetable peelers and things like that with a little hole near the handle for kids to put their first finger through, which keeps their hand in the right position, you know, backwards away from the blade. Now, obviously, you still have to supervise them, but it's just a really nice stepping stone. If you're nervous about kind of giving your kid a big knife and saying, off you go, darling, then it just kind of keeps their hand in the right position. And I got that for my son. So I had never attempted to teach a toddler to cook. And I was pretty scared when he was holding a knife. But it really kind of takes that initial fear out of it. So I would definitely recommend that.
What was the brand? Opinel.
Yeah.
Fab?
Yeah, I think it's a French brand.
Opinel, huh?
Yeah. What else? On a similar vein, you can also get various things. If you look on Amazon or any of those kind of shops, you can get various things that allow kids to be more in control in the kitchen. So, for example, you know Katie Ashworth, you know, she's kind of I Can Cook.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you know the kids are using kind of like a grater where you drop the cheese in the top and then it comes out.
Yeah.
You can get all of that kind of kit. So if you're really into the idea, if that seems to be what your kids are really responding to, if they just seem really into that, then you can, and they're all kind of plastic, they're not kind of super posh or anything, but they're really fun because then you can have kind of one kid grating and another kid kind of slicing and another one peeling.
And soon you can just sit and watch TV, drink a coffee and let them get on with it.
On Sunday morning this week, so my son usually gets up, gets his own breakfast now, which is amazing. And then my daughter gets up and kind of like crushes us until we get up. That's what normally happens. She's 7, but that's still her style. And I heard her go downstairs as well because she'd heard my son. And then we heard kind of clinking and rustling. And they sat at the kitchen table and had breakfast together.
Oh my gosh.
7 and 11, we've just got to get to that age.
How many years is that? 4 years to 7.
And my husband was like, see, we don't want more kids because look at the stage we've got them to. Let's never go back.
And soon they'll be bringing you breakfast in bed.
Yeah,
next stage.
Yeah, so you know, there are parent incentives for getting kids cooking for themselves. I would probably invest in a tin set, so you know, like a basic muffin tin, a basic tray, a basic kind of roasting tin, because then you know you've got everything you need. And quite often in the supermarket they'll just have them kind of wrapped up in a bundle and it'll be kind of 10-ish quid, and they're non-stick and you can use them over and over again. Because I'm always buying different tins for different photo shoots, I have about 1,000.
So you don't need those. I haven't got any.
No.
Just a couple my way would be great, Emily.
I'll post them all
You're
over.
Just giving to charity, basically.
No, I'm the kind of person, if I like take muffins around to somebody's house when they're ill, like, don't worry about giving the tray back. Please keep
that. I've got loads. I have all silly shaped, like Christmas tree ones and, you know, heart shaped tins.
You really go to town on the fun, don't
you?
Well,
just like once. And then I think, oh, that was a faff. I'm not doing that again.
Oh, that was going to be
a good suggestion.
Yeah, that was going to be my fourth thing. Are we on fourth or third, Carl?
Yeah, no, we're on fourth.
Yeah, that was going to be my fourth thing, which is some cookie cutters.
Oh, cool.
Not just for cookies, but for sandwiches, for pizza, for vegetables. You can get some really fun things. And you know when you go into kind of pound shops, sometimes they'll just have like little fondant cutters in the shape of flowers or something like that. And you can just like get them and use them like on slices of ham and just get the kids cutting out flowers. Brilliant. And then putting them on the pizza.
Brilliant.
So I'm not expecting as busy mums to be sitting there cutting out ham flowers, but you never know.
Yeah.
So yeah, just all of these little things. And you don't need to invest in any of these, but they're going to help you. And I'm a little bit of kind of a gadget nut, so I like buying a little extra thing if I see a bargain.
You've inspired me so much today. I can't wait to get to the supermarket and buy loads of trays and stuff. I'm going to be texting Georgia going, I bought my first baking tray. Look, this one's for muffins, and see how long it lasts. Emily, you have been so amazing.
Thank you.
You're absolutely wonderful. Thank you so much. I know this is going to go down like an absolute treat, so thank you.
Excellent. Thanks.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I mean, we've got to come off the back of that and say how fantastic Emily was.
She was so great.
She's a great woman, and she's got it nailed, and she's so good at it.
She makes it sound really easy and really sort of stress-free.
Yeah.
I think that's the best bit, is that you don't want it to be stressful.
And I'm definitely getting her book.
Oh my gosh, 100%. I can't wait. I mean, I'm going to hopefully get Axel to eat eggs and sweet potatoes.
Yeah, old
now.
Miss Perfect in the intro didn't tell you all that her son does not eat sweet potato and eggs. So
he doesn't eat sweet potatoes.
My children do. Oh no, Kit's allergic to them. No. It's a minefield, and it's incredibly stressful. Like, we are joking about it, but I have gone through serious levels of anxiety about the fact that I'm so worried that they're not taking in the right nutrients, that I tend to finish off every meal by giving Kit one of those pouches, which is peas, pears and apples, and just going
just to tick it off.
Yeah. But then that encourages, like she said, that encourages them to like sweet things. So I'm really going to try. This is my mission for the rest of the year, is to focus on what do I need to focus on? Being a better cook.
Stop having sex and get in the kitchen.
I can't help it. I like it. It's sex. Right. What are our products, G?
Yeah. So I think first thing for me is the knives that I was talking about.
Yeah.
It's a French name, which I can't quite pronounce.
I'll pronounce it for you.
Yeah. Go for it.
Jatiden.
So they're safety knives for kids. I got them off Amazon. I think they're about $7.99. Comes with a chopping board. But every morning, I make Axel chop his own fruit to go in his porridge. And it's really fun. He chops cucumber, tomatoes as well at lunch. It's just, he's involved in the cooking process. And I think, yeah, it's a good habit to get into.
It's a really nice idea. I'm going to definitely order them, because I think Luna would enjoy that, doing that with her grapes.
Yeah, it's fun.
Right, the next one is, obviously, you need to get Emily's book. Get your kids to eat anything. She talked about it on the podcast, but really, this book is absolutely essential if you have got a fussy eater at home. I mean, like she said, you can kind of turn around their eating habits and it won't take that long. And she says she can do it at any age.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it's never too late.
No.
So that is a really good one.
So, yeah.
And I know I always bang on about how I love cooking and all that, but I don't always cook from scratch. So I buy the little dish meals, which I think are fantastic. And also, if you are trying to get your child to eat, like, different things, it's so much easier just to nip into the supermarket and buy, like, even 6 or 7 different meals and give them a different one every single day.
I also really like the Annabelle Carmel ones.
Yeah.
The fish pie. Kit loves the fish pie.
And if you haven't like slaved over it for hours, there's not so much pressure to get them to eat it, and that probably in turn will make them eat it.
And talking of pressure, I think my biggest tip, and I'm saying it to myself, is don't stress.
It is.
You know, if your child ends up chucking half of the stuff on the floor and picks at it, you know, as Emily explained, and I'm really saying this advice for me, it's feeling, touching, a little bit of taste. That's all part of the weaning process.
Exactly.
So it's not like, let's see if we can ram as much food in there. Like, I used to tickle Luna under her arms when she laughed. I used to shove a spoon. It's the most stressful environment for a child to eat in.
But we do crazy things because we just want them to get the right stuff in there.
So yeah, don't stress.
And the thing is, really, all is not lost. My husband ate 5 things until he was about 18.
Look at him now, he's a pro footballer.
Exactly. It's not the end of the world, and he eats everything. In fact, he's a bloody vegan.
Well, he bloody has to, because he's living with you. What's the last one?
The last thing is cookie cutters. So you can pick these up in like Lakeland or on Amazon, so different shapes. And it's just nice to, again, to get the kids involved in cooking. So cut out heart shapes with their toast, or pizzas, or just anything like that. I think that's one of the things that we've taken away from Emily, is getting the kids involved.
Yeah, 100%. I'm going to do it. This is it. The new me. The new me 2019. I'll be on MasterChef before you know. No, I won't. I definitely will not. If it was a sex show, however. Right, that is the end of the podcast this week. Thank you so much. We haven't been drinking. Thank you so much for listening. As always, we would love you to rate, review and subscribe to the podcast, and just kind of spread the Made by Mama's love. And also, if you could give us a little 5-star review, we would be eternally grateful.
You can get us at Made by Mamas on Instagram, or on Zoe's own Instagram at Zoe Hardman.
Yes, and we are going to be back next week. We're really excited to get back into the studio to reveal next week's guest. Can't wait.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.